You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I used to do jokes here. At one point, I just stopped.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 16th season of Doctor Who, and the 100th serial overall.
Woo! We've done 100 serials?
Yep. Time to quit.
Oh, thank God. I'm exhausted.
What's the name of this? Oh, The Stones of Blood, which consists of four episodes that aired from October 28th, 1978 to November 18th, 1978.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Bisexual Brigadier for purchasing the Key to Time DVD box set for us.
Thanks, Bisexual Brigadier.
You can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. And joining us in this epic milestone of an episode, we have returning guest Nicole Mazza.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How you been?
I've been pretty good, thank you.
I'm gonna say your last episode was Image of the Fen Doll.
Yes.
Do you have a thing for women in body paint?
You know, it is funny because I was thinking, you know, the whole Goldfinger story from, you know, the background of the last story I did, and I was like, maybe I do, and I just didn't realize it.
It's something you've only just discovered.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, when my wife comes home, I'm gonna be like, I got you some paint. Of course, she would be like, I'm leaving, bye.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. I want you to paint yourself gold or silver, or we'll pick a color.
Definitely metallic.
Yeah, it has to be a metallic.
Shiny.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a cult involved somewhere.
Of course.
There's people in robes.
Oh my God, that is such my jam. I mean, that's like, it's one of my favorite things. Like, a lot of my favorite Doctor Who stories or just fiction is just like pagans and stones, and like, I love Children of the Stones, that show from the 70s when I was a kid, and yeah, I'm just, and that's why I love Canine and Company so much, because it's got, you know, pagans and stone circles, and yeah.
Stonehenge is your jam?
Everybody it loves is. A good bloodstone.
Yeah, I just, totally. You can't get blood from a, no, that doesn't work.
You give blood to a stone. You can't get it from a stone, but you can give it to a stone. So are we ready to, I mean, we already sort of have started diving in, but are we ready to go all the way?
All the way in.
Let's do it.
All right. Stones of Blood, episode one, which I have titled The Miscount of the Stones.
Is that a reference? What? You seem really proud.
I'm not.
Oh, you were looking at me expectingly, and I was like, is it a reference to another?
No, it just fits the Doctor Who pattern.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to be able to count those stones, which is based on the real megalithic stones that they used to film. Well, I mean, aside from that they're based on, because they also had the a model that wasn't the real stones all the time, so.
It was such a cute little model.
I liked it. And then they had the fake stones, too, which, you know, the Augury, and they would move around and stuff, so.
I like that. I like that name, Augury. I think that's a good alien-sounding name.
Yeah, from Augrus or something. The writer thought really hard about that one.
It is a little similar to an alien I actually don't care for, the Ogrons.
Oh, the Ogrons, yeah, yeah. Well, the Doctor, like, blew them up, a few of them, so, you know. Didn't blow up an Augury, though.
But Auguries do get blown up, just not by the Doctor.
Yeah. They do go over the cliff, but that's getting ahead of ourselves.
So we actually start where the last one sort of left off, kind of.
That's kind of the deal with this season.
I assume the Doctor and Romana found Calyvrax and they have the second piece of the key to time. And they're going to put it together, but the Doctor is not very good at it.
Can't quite figure it out.
Not good at puzzles.
And Romana picks it up and immediately just goes, shling. It's, like, real easy.
I think the best part about this scene is that she's like, why don't you go figure out where the next key to time is? And the Doctor's like, all right. And then, like, he starts to leave and he comes back and he's like, I've just decided I'm gonna go find out where the next key to time is. That was a thing I just decided. Okay, bye.
You know, that's what she has to deal with. She's, like, was, like, top of her class and Gallifrey and... She has to deal with this guy now.
Oh, I love their dynamic so much. Then we get the, you know, Doctor Who prerequisite cult members who are at this stone circle, which is called Nine Travelers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the only way they refer to it. Yeah. I mean, that's not what it's called in real life, but that's what it's called here.
What's it called in real life?
Well, I mean, it's based on, what was it called? I wrote it down. Oh, the Rollwright Stones. And they did film a little bit around the Rollwright Stones, which is somewhere in central England. I didn't write down where exactly it was. But and then, of course, they built models and stuff around that. Because some of it's in studio and that sort of thing.
I think I read somewhere that the idea that you can't count them, that they, like, change number and stuff, that's actually based on...
Yeah, the Rollwright Stones. It's based on that one, from what I understand.
They really change?
Well, that's like the legend. I don't think it's like real, but
for real, there's probably people who can count the stones, but you know, unless they're like a 2-year-old, you know, he can't get past like 5.
Or really drunk, they count the same one twice. What's going on?
I mean, that would just be me in general.
But they are people in robes, and they are chanting about, from what I can tell, the series of British films Carry On. That's what it sounded like they were saying.
Carry On?
No, they're saying the Kaliak, which is...
The Kaliak.
Yeah, which is a Celtic hag witch character. It's a lot. There's a lot. Like, she's like a goddess of death and war and magic and... And my Celtic Reconstructionist friends are probably frowning at me right now. But there's more to it than that. But that's the basic gist of her.
Your typical goddess that cult people would worship.
Yeah, you know, for fun.
And they are pouring blood on these stones. And the stones are drinking it all up. And they are real, real...
They're hungry.
It gives them a nice glow. Which I am assuming those are the fake stones, the ones that glow, right?
One would guess, but, you know, you never know. They might have, like, had to hire some of the real stones as actors and, you know, said, hey, can you glow? And they were like, I'll try. And then they did. And, you know.
Then they said, now's my time to shine.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
See,
yeah.
There you go.
You can't do that joke. That's my job. You're stealing my bad joke thunder.
We can pretend you said it. You could be like the Doctor where it's like, I had that idea.
Oh, is that our dynamic on the Doctor and you're Romana?
Obviously.
Actually, you're Romana and I'm K-9. Speaking of Romana, she changes her outfit.
Quite a few times in this one.
That's true. She wears 3 different outfits in this serial. She just had the one that she wore in the last serial, and now she's changed into one that's very pink.
What I love about this outfit is it absolutely looks like an alien is like, yeah, that's what people dress like.
I love that she has like the Burberry hat on, and that's like got such chavvy sort of connotations nowadays, but... Back then, it was probably kind of posh, you know.
I thought she was about to go golfing in the 80s.
In high heel shoes.
In high heel shoes.
And I find it so odd that the Doctor's like, that's a terrible shoe choice. I'm like, how many companions wear really terrible shoes, like, all the time in front of the Doctor? And he never says anything. He's never like, you shouldn't wear heels. But, yeah, because you're really going to get that, like, with Tegan and stuff. I mean, they just... they wear heels all the time. That's why they fall and break their ankle or twist their ankle.
I do think it's hilarious that
you gotta get one solid pair of hiking boots and wear them till they fall apart.
Yeah, if I traveled with a doctor, I'd have on, like, combat boots or something. I mean, I wear those anyway, but that would be my thing, you know? No high heels, like...
I do think it's hilarious that she's like, oh, okay. And she goes and gets even more impractical shoes.
Well, they've got a thicker heel.
A bit, but they're still very high heel.
They're no sneakers.
They're like purple thigh highs.
No, yeah, that's right. She goes back, she leaves and comes back with a pair of like purple sparkly shoes. And she's like, what about these?
She doesn't wind up wearing those though.
And I like that they just hang it up on the coat rack. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and the doctor also just has his hat resting on the center of the TARDIS console thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's perfect hat rack. You don't lose your hat that way.
Until the TARDIS tips over.
Oh, that's true. Which
it frequently does.
That's a good point. Maybe the TARDIS just wants to wear a hat, and that's what it's for.
But they're flying, and we hear the White Guardian say, beware the Black Guardian. At least I assume that's the White Guardian saying that.
I assume so.
And so the Doctor sort of tells Romana.
The Doctor basically gives us a nice little recap.
Yeah, but like, it's also the first time she's heard about it. She didn't know about the White Guardian and the Black Guardian and all that stuff. She thought it was just a purely Gallifreyan mission thing. So this is the first time she's let in on everything. But it also works as a nice recap.
In case she forgot what was happening.
I'm not sure why she wasn't in on it to begin with. Because also, like, he's like, this is the Black Guardian, the White Guardian. She doesn't know any of that. And then he's like, we're looking for these pieces to the key to time. And she's like, yeah, I know. I've been here the past two serials.
It's not like I've been gone for like a week and don't remember what's happening.
She looks at the camera.
It's booze. She's just been drinking too much to remember. It's the only way to live with the Doctor. She's like, I went to the Academy for this? Oh my God.
They discover that they are going to Earth.
In that scene, he's like, he looks where it's going to be and he kind of chuckles and he's like, oh, you're in for a treat. And I was like, it's Earth. And Joe's like, watch it be some mud planet that she's going to hate. And I was like, yes, it's Earth.
She says something like, everyone knows that's your favorite planet.
Only for budget reasons.
I like that in Gallifrey, everyone knows that the Doctor's an Earth weirdo.
Yeah. Like, oh God, of course. It's Earth.
He's going to talk to us about Earth again. God.
You think he did like papers on Earth when he was in school?
That was like his favorite subject to write about. They were like, don't ever bring up Earth in front of him. He will talk about it forever.
Show you all of his like favorite Earth books.
Yes. His little Earth pictures that he has on his wall in his dorm room or something.
Makes Earth mixtapes for everybody. Just Earth music. It's all like classical composers and like one hit wonders from the 80s.
Well, we'd have like Holst the Planets or something. And I don't know, but that would be the solar system. So yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, he's just a big old Earth nerd. They land and he's like, anyone for tennis? She doesn't know what that means.
This vaguely stresses me out.
And he's like, oh, it means, is anyone going outdoors to get soaked?
Which I guess that's something they say in England. That's what he said. But I mean, it's the Doctor, so who knows?
So Romana doesn't trust that either. So she asks K-9, what's tennis? And he's like, real, table, or lawn? And then she's like, oh, forget it. And he's like, okay. And then deletes everything about tennis from his memory banks.
K-9 no longer knows what tennis is.
I know. I'm like, I feel like that is setting up something. I mean, I don't think it actually does, but I feel kind of bad for K-9. He's going to be in a moment when he needs to know what tennis is. And
I had the same feeling. I was like, that's going to come back to bite him later. They're going to need a tennis racket in order to save the day, and K-9 won't be able to figure it out.
Right. Be like, why does tennis racket master? You know, it'd be sad.
When they've captured the Doctor, we will only let him go if you tell us the rules to tennis.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yep. Oops.
And then Tony got a little mad at the Doctor once they got out because he has this big old umbrella, but he's like, oh, it's sunny out. So he just tosses it to the side.
And it was a cool umbrella. I like that umbrella.
That's littering. Go pick that back up.
Maybe he expects K-9 to get it for him or something.
I hope he went back and got it, because that's rude.
It is rude. It's uncalled for.
I mean, we never see it again, so I don't know what happened to it.
Stones ate it.
Oh, yeah. Yum, 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 yum.
But they find some big old footprints. I slightly wonder if that... There's a shot where, like, she puts her foot into the footprint and, like, twists her heel around. And I was like, man, that's probably some foot fetish's favorite scene in Doctor Who.
Oh, no.
Well, they did linger on it.
Right? It, like, turned into a Quentin Tarantino movie for a second.
They did linger on it, and then later, she's barefoot. And, like, that shot also lasts for, like... a questionable amount of time.
Right.
Yeah, she turns into John McClane for a little bit. No shoes. But they find the stone circle, the nine travelers, while they're discussing it. Perhaps the best character in Doctor Who.
Ever.
Yeah, I literally just posted that on Facebook last night because I love Amelia Rumford.
I think I liked that post.
I saw that post and went, I just watched that too! And then went, wait a minute.
We're going to talk about that this weekend.
We watched it for the same reasons. She just immediately shows up and starts just rambling, really.
Yeah, she's kind of like being even weirder than the Doctor.
I was going to say, what's great is she's being the Doctor at the Doctor, which he doesn't seem to have much patience for. She's just talking 100 miles per minute about whatever she wants to talk about. And the Doctor's like, huh, oh.
Okay. Well, she assumes that he is somebody.
A professor, yeah.
Who wrote papers, and then she's just like, goes on, just starts talking like, assuming he knows what she's talking about. And honestly, the way he looked, and I assume felt, is a lot like I felt when I worked retail. And these old people would just come in and tell me their, like, life stories, and I'm just like... All right, do you want this DVD? I don't...
Well, I know, like, in the behind-the-scenes thing, they said they felt like kind of Tom Baker was, like, a bit sort of put off, because he was just like, okay, she's even more eccentric than I am. You know, like, she's putting me in my place.
That needs to happen more often. I always enjoy the Doctor being put in his place.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine them traveling together? That would be so amazing.
I would love, like... an old lady companion.
They have that in Big Finish, but not in the TV show.
I was hoping we'd get that in the new season, but they killed her off.
Yep. Still holding out hope that she, like, comes back in some form.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I don't really trust Chibnall to do anything that good.
I had an old lady doctor for that RPG that we did that, like, never got off the ground, and I loved her. She was, like, a grimy kind of, like, mechanic... Mm-hmm. Just on, like, old and no nonsense. And I was like, that would be so fun. Like, that's a doctor we haven't really had.
Yeah.
At least not, you know, a female doctor.
Yeah, because well, we've only had one of those.
Because we just started that.
Maybe next time. Vivian Faye shows up.
Yes.
Who I also love immediately.
They're like the lesbian archaeologist couple. Like, I just love it. Like, this serial is so female-centric. I mean, the only men in it are the Doctor and DeVries. Or DeVries, I think is his name. It
doesn't last very long.
Yeah. It's just all these women. And they're all strong women, which is awesome.
Well, there's two other characters, but I don't think they're necessarily gendered.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't think they really are.
I mean, the Augury might be male, but we don't actually know.
I do believe the other two characters are... played by men, but that they are just sort of...
There's the male camper, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's also not in it very long. Never camp in Doctor Who.
Oh, but I love camp in Doctor Who. We actually got into a conversation about camp and stuff like that with Chris Cherry. Apparently, I didn't know about this, but there's a thing in Doctor Who fandom called Guns versus Frocks.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, there's people who sort of, like, prefer the more, like, serious drama of Doctor Who and the more, like, militaristic aspects.
Hard sci-fi.
Hard sci-fi, militaristic, space opera type stuff. And then there are people who enjoy the, like, more fun, campy, you know,
nonsense.
Having fun and adventures Doctor Who. And those are the Frocks, and I'm definitely more frock than a gun.
Sounds like the rads versus trads. That was like a thing in the 90s where it was like you wanted either Doctor Who that was like radical, that was doing stuff new, or trad, which was just kind of your typical like stories that are, you know, just in the same format as like Base Under Siege. Yeah. Stuff like that. Like Mark Gatiss is totally a trad writer. I mean, he just uses the same old tropes over and over.
I'm definitely a rad then.
Yeah, me too. I am very much a rad.
I am a rad frock.
Rad frock. Represent. Hashtag rad frock.
What are you?
I mean, yeah, give me camp and give me, you know, anytime Doctor Who's doing something that I'm not entirely sure what it's doing, I'm probably really happy.
What's great about this serial is it starts off kind of like a traditional serial and then gets weird.
Yeah. I love that. Like, you think it's going to be another sort of gothic horror, like, sort of thing, and then, nope, it does horror and sci-fi.
And we're doing a weird space court thing. But
yeah.
You thought we were doing cults and stuff. No, we're just gonna do both.
Why not have both? You've got chocolate in my peanut butter.
So, Amelia Rumford and Vivian Fay sort of just do, like, some exposition-y bits, like, fill them in on the Dritic sect that's been, like, interrupting their science.
Yeah, what's great is that, like, the doctor's like, it looks like some, you know, something had its throat cut here. And Vivian's like, yeah, they probably did. There are druids around here all the time. They do that kind of thing. I wouldn't let it bother you.
They're pretty harmless. Yeah, I have several druid friends. They probably really hate the story.
I do like that they kind of go, there's at least one line where they're like, they're not real druids.
Yeah, they're the BIDS or something, the British Institute of Druids or something. I don't remember what it was.
They're like, these are the people who kind of do whatever. I wouldn't say they have any connection to real druids who are practicing now.
Right, right.
Which is probably they're like, and don't write us any angry letters.
Exactly. We didn't mean like real druids, just like fake druids. Just
people, you know, who think they know what being a druid is.
Exactly.
Then they talk about Romana's shoes for a bit and how impractical they are.
I mean, she is in the background of every shot just like struggling.
And I really feel like Vivian Fay especially seems to be kind of hitting on Romana a little bit. Maybe it's just me.
100% that's happening.
Yeah, it's just like, come back to my cabin and I'll feed you sausage sandwiches.
I mean, if I was going to be flirting with somebody, offering them sausage sandwiches is how I'd start.
I gotta say, I'm a little bummed what happened with Vivian Fay later in this serial, because I loved her so much, and I wanted, like, just her and Amelia just hanging out and with Romana, and just, I could watch that all day.
That'd be a great sitcom. Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because she doesn't go with them for tea and stuff because, well, the doctor's left to go check out the leader of the druidic people, the sect.
Typical male.
Well, he kind of leaves Romana behind because she's like, I do not want to walk in these stupid shoes.
And also to kind of spy on Amelia and Vivian.
But then once he's left and they're like, we're going to go back to my cottage. You want to come back for Netflix and chill?
She's sausage, like, sandwiches and chill.
Sausage sandwiches and chill.
Or just bread, because I couldn't see any sausage on the sandwiches that they have later. I was like, where's the sausage?
Things are dire when someone invites you over for just bread and chill.
Where's the beef? But when they invite her over, she's like, no thanks, I'm gonna wait for the doctor. Because he doesn't know where you guys live, and he knows where the stones is. But the doctor has gone to talk to check out the leader, who is, you know, being very creepy in a basement, talking to crows.
Like you do. I mean, I do that all the time. No hate.
That's a typical Tuesday. But the doctor rings his doorbell, but because, like, the guy's like, ah, he's here, as we predicted, and then takes, like, 3 hours changing out of his cult robes.
I know, he could have sent Martha to go get the door. You know, that's the woman. He could have just said, can you go get that for me?
But she's too busy changing, helping him change. Like, He can't change out of his robes himself.
They need a butler or something.
But because he takes so long, the doctor just walks on in.
They're like, he's impatient. We should go see him.
He sort of gets shown around, and they talk about portraits and missing portraits and how creepy birds are. All setting up stuff that will happen later. It's a hall. I forget the name of it. It used to be a convent too.
And all the portraits are missing of these women that have pretty much all killed their husbands. Which I'm like, oh, okay.
Didn't one of them get like crushed by a stone?
No, there was another professor he mentions that he thinks, I think the doctor is taking his place. And he said, too bad about that guy. Yeah, he got crushed by a stone. And so the doctor was like, oh God, is Amelia going to be okay? And he's like, oh, she's fine. She'll be fine. And she's got her police truncheon, you know, she can fight the Augury.
And then they chat a bit about the goddess, the
Kaliak.
And the doctor stands up and sees a bird person. And it's like, what?
It's costume party.
DeVries bops him on the head. And he passes out.
I want this costume so bad.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like this amazing crow mask and just
feather dress?
Yeah. Well, what do you call it, the way that it's draped like that?
Like a poncho?
Yeah, it's kind of like a feathered poncho.
Bird poncho.
But it looks amazing, and I would love to show up to a con in that.
That would be great.
Hulant is coming up soon. You better get some.
Let me just go out and get a feathered poncho. I do already have a crow mask.
There you go. And just show up. You don't have to even say anything. She didn't say much while wearing the costume.
Yeah, you need a staff, too.
Oh, yeah. True. That's right.
Romana is out in the stone circle, and she hears the doctor calling for her. But she chucks her shoes off and goes after him and walks by a sign that says, danger, cliff edge, don't walk here, please.
Danger, it's time for the cliffhanger.
The literal cliffhanger. She's like, sees something, and then it looks like she just falls off the cliff. Like, she just sort of backs up off of it. And it's slightly confusing to me. Like, did she walk off backwards, or what happened? It's later said that she was pushed. And that's 100% Tom Baker's fault, that I think that this is not very clear.
He was like, he didn't want to film, like, showing the doctor like pushing her off the cliff because he didn't want to freak the kids out. So he just agreed to only use his voice. Something like that. I still think that if she got pushed off, like, she would not have been able to catch herself, and she would have been a bit more ripped up, I think. Like, more bloodied and I don't know. I've never been pushed off a cliff, so I can't say for sure.
Let's hope you never are.
Right, but, you know, I could test it, but there's not really any cliffs near here. But, you know, I would just think that just the trajectory, you would kind of either go outward, either backward, head first, or I don't know. I don't think you would catch yourself that easily.
Also, I don't really understand Tom Baker's objections, considering he's played, like, an evil version of himself at least twice before now. Maybe three times.
Right. And kids understand that's not really the doctor. Like, they're gonna figure it out. They're not idiots.
We literally just had a serial that, like, one of the cliffhangers is that he's like, hey, look, I've invited the bad guys here. And then evilly laughs. Was it? That was in The Invasion of Time. I think he just didn't want to do it.
He was lazy that day. He's like, I just want a sausage sandwich. I don't want to push her off the cliff.
But that is the end of episode one. A literal cliffhanger.
And it won't be the last in the Doctor Who show.
Oh, I am so looking forward to it. I know I've heard tales of the seventh Doctor.
The Dragonfire one.
That I can't wait till we get there. It's going to be like 3 years from now, but I'm excited.
I cut a promo together for Retro. I used that part in Dragonfire in the promo.
It's so funny. I mean, it makes zero sense in the story, but it's funny.
That's the end of episode one. We're now into episode two, which I've called Stone Cold Killer.
I like it.
You can smell what he's cooking. That's a rock joke.
Oh, wow.
And I was very excited about how this episode starts. No recap.
Right. It just goes right into the next stuff.
Just Romana, just hanging on the side of the cliff. Which...
I love that she's on there for, like, I don't even know how long. Like, it's nighttime, and she's still like, help!
She's got some serious upper body strength.
Well, it's weird, because, like, when it's showing from above her, and she's like, there's, you see the water underneath her, which is clearly just, like, CSL, and she's, like, laying on a stop. There's nothing underneath her feet. But then when they cut to, like, the actual location, it clearly looks like she's got her feet propped up on two rocks.
She was a spider in a past life. She can just, like, stick on to things.
Oh, she's one of the Spider-Men from the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She is this universe's spider person. So she's on the cliffside, and the doctor is on a stone. They're preparing to sacrifice him. But Martha, who is, you know, DeVry's assistant lady.
Yeah, it's not really clear. Because they seem like they might be romantically involved, but I'm not really sure.
I think he calls her mistress a few times, so don't know what that means. Or maybe I just read that on the Wikipedia, but she's not very down for human sacrifice.
She's like, we've done rabbits before.
Yeah, this is kind of awkward. He has friends. Someone might come and find us.
Not down for killing the real people. And the doctor wakes up. Whenever he wakes up on this show, he's just immediately awake.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. And rambling. You know, it's like, I hope that's...
I hope the knife's been sterilized.
Because it could get, like, a staph infection or something.
Not worried about dying.
No, he'd get an infection.
But then he starts calling for help when he sees someone in the distance with a bicycle. I don't know why she's not riding the bicycle.
She's just pushing it. I love her, though, when she starts coming with the bike, like, running. She's like, I'm coming for you! Just like, I love you, Amelia.
And she gets there and everyone else sort of scatters. And she unties the doctor.
Which I think she would see at least one of those people leaving.
She's older and her eyesight's not as good as it used to be.
And there's only the one little light, I guess, on the bike.
And the stones aren't currently glowing, so... and then they both realize that Romana is gone. But they're like, well, we'll have to put a search party together tomorrow. Unless, you know, if we had like a dog, we could search for her now. And the doctor's like, oh, I have got a dog.
You want to see a dog? I've got a dog.
Amelia just gets like super excited. Like, all right, we're going to do adventures now.
Well, she's probably pretty bored in her life generally. I mean, she likes looking at the stones and writing about them, but... this is probably pretty exciting.
She deserves it. She deserves some excitement and adventure. So K-9 comes out and tracks Romana down to the cliffside.
Which I love that part when he was like, now I know you've always wanted to be a bloodhound. And he's like, negative, master? And he's like, yes. Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
He even more quietly goes, negative.
Yeah.
The doctor is trying to gaslight a robot. But they find Romana, and the doctor's like, oh, we gotta get you back up. And she's like, no, I don't trust you. But she does climb up, and he throws his scarf down, and he pulls her up on the scarf. But then she immediately, like, shoves him. Like, get away from me! But K-9 confirms that he's the doctor. And then they sort of figure out, like, well, maybe whoever was pretending to be you has the piece to the key of time. It's got shape-shifting powers, so maybe she's harnessed it somehow. Or not, well, they don't say she, but...
Someone has.
And has used it to turn into the doctor, which that is interesting, but never gets used again, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's when Vivian changes into the silver version of herself, but I don't know, maybe she just went in the bathroom and covered herself up with a bunch of paint. You know, I don't really know.
Yeah, that's not her. That's not what she actually looks like. That's just fashion. Speaking of fashion, Romana changes outfits again.
I love this outfit. This is like one of my favorite outfits of hers. It looks comfortable. It's like a red kind of peasant skirt. It's got like a little white underskirt. And then it's like a red sort of, almost like a peasant top. It's got like strings to tie at the top. And it's very sort of hippie-ish. I'm not a fashion person. I'm pretty butch, but I think it looks cool. Like for me, it would be all black, but you know, I still like it.
Are you fashion wise? Are you more on the Vivian Faye sort of side?
Well, with the silver, yeah. I mean, of course,
the black bird costume.
Yeah, I mean, you should see me right now. I'm all painted up. I didn't want to say anything and be weird, but I'm kind of getting some of the paint on my desk chair, though, so.
Paint and feathers everywhere.
Everywhere. My cat is going to go crazy.
Then we cut to DeVries and Martha just freaking out. They are worried that they've made the goddess angry. And then I'm also a little freaked out when just a big flashing something rolls by the window outside. I assume it's the rock. That's one of the stones. One of the rolling stones.
Was he cooking?
Was he cooking? Is that what you said?
Probably not.
But they freak out, and the doctor gets to the manor, or the hall, or whatever, and it's been, like, torn apart, and he sees the dead body of DeVries. And Martha, or just DeVries?
It was both of them. Their skulls have been bashed in. And he covers K-9's eyes, which I thought was really sweet.
But he is like, well, the murderer left a trail, and, like, there's some dust, and it's...
silicone.
Breast implants.
The attack of the killer breast implants.
I mean, they're some Autons.
Autons?
That's a plot for the Autons.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my god. That would be interesting.
That almost sounds kind of like the adipose in a way.
Breasts are fatty tissue, so I mean, we've gone down a dark path.
Killer boobs on Doctor Who. That sounds like a very RTD plot. I don't know why.
Well, you know, the baddie in Miracle Day was almost like a big... It's like a giant vulva. And I'm like, this is a lot about your psychology. I'm just like, what even?
But the stones bust into the place and attack the doctor.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Every time they do that, I just say that because I'm like, it's totally like the Kool-Aid Man.
I love the Augury so much. Like, they are both frightening, well-designed, and also dumb as hell, in a way that I love. A combination of all three of those.
That's true!
They just have to break a wall down or a door down. Or...
like, on the one hand, a rock coming for you is terrifying, because what are you gonna do? But on the other hand, it's goofy, because what is it gonna do?
Right. I like when it gets stuck, too, because it can't get through the wall sort of thing. It's like, oh, the door's too short. Yeah, I wonder if it, like, does a run-up. You know, to kind of break through something, or if it just kind of just goes, ugh.
It's definitely not a very expressive monster.
Except for when it's lighting up.
That's the only sort of expression it gets. No one really knows what the Augury wants, you know?
Sausage sandwiches.
But it attacks the doctor, knocks him out, and K-9 shoots the stone and chases after it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Because the next scene I loved. It's just Romana, Vivian, and Amelia just hanging out.
Just having a good old girl's time.
Having some science-y talk, some history talk, eating their sausage sandwiches, which actually... yeah, now that Vivian is making sausage sandwiches, I'm kind of wondering, since she's the husband killer, you might not want to eat that sandwich.
That's true.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no!
That's where my brain went.
But that's some more exposition sort of happens here, and that's when Romana discovers that a lot of women owned the Boscombe Hall. It's in my notes, and it used to be a convent. She's like, it's weird, there's just a lot of women. Let's go check it out.
And now that I think about it, Vivian's like, ha, what? No.
That's not weird, it was a convent, sisterhood, hey.
What?
But Romana and Amelia are going to head out to check it out, and Amelia grabs her police truncheon. And she's like, she got it for, like, self-defense, and she's like, did she ever have to use it? And she was like, no, but she did get, like, arrested for...
carrying an offensive weapon. Because she took it to New York for a lecture or something.
I love her. She's, like, just ready to attack the world.
As we all should be. All
right, now we're here. So they arrive at the hall. They find the place trashed. And K-9 is upside down. And the doctor appears to be trying to give K-9 mouth to mouth?
I don't know.
I think Tom Baker just does things sometimes.
Yeah. They're just like, just let him be weird.
We're well past the point where anyone can tell him no anymore.
Right? Well, actually, they did tell him no for this serial. Really? There was going to be a scene, because this is the 100th serial, it's also like the 15th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, with the birthday party.
K-9 and Romana were going to surprise him with a 751st birthday cake.
What? That's cute as hell!
Yeah.
Why didn't they do it? They ran out of time?
No, they said they thought it was stupid, and so they added more of the key to time, like, in the TARDIS bits.
I'm so offended.
They said it was too self-indulgent.
Yeah, I would have eaten that shit up, to be honest.
I mean, all of Doctor Who is self-indulgent. I mean, come on.
I thought that was great. Someone was like, thankfully they cut it out, and I was like, no, it's a great scene. That's a great idea.
And they would eat cake and everything.
And then the doctor would turn to the camera and say, and coincidentally, happy birthday to you at home as well.
Happy birthday, Doctor Who.
But he's working on K-9. K-9's parts are all messed up. And K-9's just like, I tried.
He says, I tried my best, but they were too strong. He tried his best, Joe! He was like a boy!
He says he cannot be fixed.
And then the doctor was talking about moving his cerebral core. And I was like, no.
But luckily, Romana's like, hey, do you have this, you know, plot thing in the TARDIS? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, maybe we can hook him up to that and he'll be fine.
See, that's why we need Romana around. Otherwise, K-9 would be dead.
And that's what she does. She takes him to the TARDIS and hooks him up. And I think this is also the point where the doctor says that the rocks, like Augury, live on blood.
Globulin deficient.
And then we see the bird person giving blood to the rock. Out of context, that is the weirdest sentence I've ever said. The bird person gave blood to the rock!
You know,
the actor rock. The rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry Bird gave the rock a bowl of blood. But then I think the doctor and Amelia are sort of like trying to look around this hall for clues and stuff. And he's like, those paintings that are missing, they have to be important.
Or else why would they be missing?
And he also remembers the cryptic thing that DeVry said about like the birds are always watching, the crows and the ravens. That leads him to check a little bird lever that opens a...
That was some Batman-level shit, almost.
It was a priest hole, so, I mean, those weren't that uncommon.
Okay, so wait, what is a priest hole? Because when we were watching it, I was like, they said that like it was a thing, and it's something that I, like, vaguely remember learning about once.
You're Catholic, so...
Yeah, but I couldn't place the context of it.
I grew up Catholic, too. A priest hole is basically, like, a hiding place for a priest that was built in, like, castles and some of the more posh Catholic houses in England back, like, around Elizabethan times when Catholics were, like, prosecuted by law to, you know, if they couldn't practice Catholicism, so they would have like masses in their houses. And there were also like priest hunters that would come and try to find the priest. So you would just hide them away in these little hiding places in your house. It was like pretty common in the nicer houses, obviously not in, you know, your little like townhouse. You probably didn't have a priest hole, but in a lot of old castles and stuff, if they were owned by Catholics, they had a priest hole.
Gotcha.
While watching the serial, I may have made too many inappropriate comments about being inside a priest hole.
It was awful.
It is set up for that too.
But they go into the priest hole and
disgusting.
They find the paintings and they all look the same. And they all look like Vivian Faye.
Dun, dun, dun.
To be honest, I had to be like, do they all look like Vivian?
Well, I remember your face blindness.
So. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I was like, I'm just guessing from context. That's what I'm supposed to be saying right now.
I do have to say, the first time you see Vivian silver-faced... I didn't realize that was her either, so...
Really?
I was like, I just thought it was an alien.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Amelia lives with Vivian, and she didn't recognize her at first either in the portraits. So, it's not just you.
I do like that she's like, she never told me she was related.
Yeah.
Then Romana, I guess while K-9's charging, just goes out to check the circle, and Vivian Faye bumps into her. Wearing the bird costume, by the way.
Right. She doesn't have the mask on, but she has the rest of it.
And Romana is just fine with this. But then again, Romana doesn't know what, like, Earth fashion looks like, so.
Yeah, she doesn't know what you're supposed to. You're not supposed to be in a bird costume.
And then they go to the circle, and Vivian pulls up her staff and shoots Romana with, like, a little beam of light, and Romana disappears. Bum, bum, bum. That is a cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 2. And we are now into episode 3, where things get weird. And I have called this episode, The Machines of Justice.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good.
So the doctor does say that, yes, that the people on the painting are all Vivian Fay, and that she is the Kaliak as well. She has many identities.
Here's a whole list of them.
Kaliak, Vivian Fay, and then she'll get another one in a little bit.
I thought Fay was a nice last name for her.
I mean, the naming in this serial is pretty good all together. Leonard DeVries, Vivian Fay, Amelia Rumford.
Lady Morgana was one of the old identities of her, which of course Morgana is like Morgan Le Fay and, you know, all that stuff.
Ooh, clever. I like it. It's good. Who wrote this episode?
His name is David Fisher. I'm pretty sure this is his first Doctor Who story. He does go on to write about 3 or 4 more.
Well, I like him. But the rock comes after the Doctor and Amelia. They run from it, and like, the Doctor says it's like a silicon-based life form, and she's like, that's impossible. And he's like, well, maybe it doesn't know that. And then she's like, well, I'm gonna hit it with my truncheon. We should capture it for science.
I love her.
I do too. And he has to be like, no, no.
Maybe we should just run.
Though to be fair, his plan is pretty out there as well.
I just don't know how it got down the stairs without them hearing it. You know?
Ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk.
Yeah, I mean, it gets kind of stuck in the little archway there. But
that's a good question. How did it get down there?
Same way Daleks do.
Off screen. The way he defeats this Augury is very much how he would defeat a Dalek as well. He Matador capes it at the cliffside.
And the music even changes to kind of try to sound like that too, which is very awkward.
He throws his, I guess he's got his coat or something, and he like, whoa! And the rock falls off the side of the cliff, crashes into the river, and then it sinks like a,
nope.
like a no. Heavy thing. No? What? I don't know what she's doing exactly, but Vivian Fay is standing in this circle, and she's like lighting it up with her staff. I don't know what she's doing, but it looks cool as hell. She's doing some sort of ritual thing.
I think she was, because they talk about that she makes basically a force field when the Doctor and Amelia come up. So I'm wondering if she's trying to keep the Doctor out for if he tries to come for Romana.
Because the Doctor and Amelia do come up, and they chat a bit, but she's like, if you leave me alone, I'll let Romana go. And the Doctor runs into the force field. It zaps the Doctor down.
He's like, static electricity? That's not a very fancy force field.
She's like, worked on your ass. And then she says, count the stones, and disappears. Because 3 of the stones are missing. One of them's dead. 2 of them are still out there. And then that's when the Doctor's like, they're the Augury. I know this because of reasons. But the Doctor sends Amelia to go look for crystals, and he's going to get some stuff from his TARDIS. And then he's going to make a thing. He makes this weird, I don't know, thing.
It looks like 3 little satellites attached to a gun attached to a tripod.
And it kind of looks like the 2 bits in the back look like 2 microphones side by side to me. I don't know. It's kind of an odd shape thing.
We'll later see a spaceship in the serial.
That's definitely 2 microphones taped together.
They must have had a surplus of microphones.
Someone found a bin of old broken ones, and they were like, send it to props!
Doctor Who can use that.
But he's making this device, and then K-9 rolls up behind him, and Tony was very excited.
He's okay!
And then the Doctor and Amelia complain about Einstein a lot. She, like, scoffs a lot at Einstein. And the doctor's like, yeah, he had these theories that were wrong. And they talk about hyperspace.
Yeah, but she still talks about, like, his law of relativity. That's right. And I love that she just spouts it off. And I'm like, I love you. You are awesome.
What's great is she starts the conversation being like, oh, that's physics. And I'm an archaeologist. I don't know about all that physics stuff. But she's like, oh, but actually, I know enough.
And then the doctor says something about, like, traveling through hyperspace is a thing to just sort of bypass time distortion problems. And then she is like, can I ask you a question? And he's like, sure. And she's like, are you from outer space? And he's like, no, I'm from inner time. What does that mean?
It was just some BS he said because he thought it might sound cool and he was wrong.
Like, it sounded better in his head. He's like, I bet this will sound really cool.
This is gonna blow our fucking mind. Inner time. Nope. Wait. I said it out loud and just realized it sounds stupid.
And she's too nice to tell me.
She's just like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Weirdo.
They set up the device outside of at the stone circle and discuss what they're gonna do. Basically, it'll zap him into hyperspace. That's where... He assumes Faye went.
And Romana.
It can only last for like 30-ish seconds, and she's going to have to like turn it off and turn it back on and hope that they can get out.
Like a computer, just turn it off and turn it back on.
That's how you fix everything. And K-9 will put up a force field if there are any rocks that come by. And if things go wrong, run. And then he also has a great line where he's like, if I get stuck there, he always wanted to get lost in a hypothetical absurdity. We get, like, you know, the build-up. We're about to jump in.
Is it hypothetical or theoretical?
It's one of the two.
All right.
And, like, there's a build-up. Like, she's going to zap him, and he's going to go into the thing, and then we're building up to it, and then she turns it on and immediately does not work. Just starts sparking.
My favorite thing about this scene is that she immediately is like, oh, did I do something wrong? And K-9's like, no, there's a fault in the wiring. It's the doctor's fault. And the doctor's like, well, we can't all be perfect. K-9!
But the rocks come, and K-9 has to shoot it with the force field, I guess, which is just, you know, it's that K-9 red beam from his nose. The doctor has fixed it, she turns it back on, he's zapped away, and now he's on a spaceship! And he marks a little spot where so he knows where to stand to get zapped back. And this is where we see Faye is now silver.
Yeah, it's an amazing curveball halfway through. Of like, yes, you thought we were doing gothic druids and nonsense. But no, we're also doing some space nonsense. Surprise! It's Doctor Who. We can do both.
We're basically on this, like, abandoned convict ship with, like, dead people all over. Romana is chained up in this, like, cell with a really cool-looking robot that is also just deactivated.
Yeah, it's a Kral android from the Android Invasion.
Oh!
Yeah. There's also the Wirin. Did you see that? From the Ark in Space was in one of the rooms. Kind of like insecty looking thing.
I didn't realize that's what it was. I was just like, that's a big dead bug.
Well, same thing.
I didn't realize that was from the Android Invasion. Now that I think about it, it clearly is.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that. I was like, that looks like that. And then I verified, so... I'm not that smart.
There's also just the doctor opens a door and a corpse falls out. He quickly pushes it back in.
I love that. He just like kicks it back in.
Was that anything? It kind of looked like Crispy Master, but...
No, I think it was just meant to be like... I think in the documentary they said that they were trying to put a lot of old Doctor Who aliens in there, but they couldn't get the rights to most of them, so they just threw a random skeleton thing in there. And I think that's what that was.
It was funny, though. Just like, nope.
I'll just put that back where I found it.
It was just Halloween decoration.
And then he finds Romana and, like, says, like, this ship is floating above the nine travelers, the stones, but it's in hyperspace, so it's outside of the universe, so no one can see it. And he also realizes that the ship is fully fueled, which is, like, weird. And he's like, so why is it staying here? Why isn't it?
It's not like it's crashed.
It's just hanging out.
And they're like, oh, well, let's look for the piece. We'll figure that out later. Let's try to find this key piece. Meanwhile, outside, K-9 stops shooting the rocks as they leave. She turns the machine off. K-9's like, I think they've left to go recharge.
K-9 is like really straining, too. He's like depleted all of his power, really.
He has a really rough story. I mean, he's just constantly just not doing well in this.
There's also, I think he's talking about how he's about to lose power. The professor says something about, like, never say die. And K-9's like, I never do say die.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she said, where's your Dunkirk spirit?
He seems a little offended.
What is Dunkirk? Is it tennis?
I was surprised. This is actually, like, a really good serial for K-9.
Well, you know what? He has another really good line. I think that already happened. It's when the doctor is explaining hyperspace to the professor. You know, she's like, I still don't think I understand it. And the doctor says, who does? K-9 says, I do.
And he's all like, shut up, K-9. Meanwhile, outside, K-9 stops shooting the rocks as they leave.
And apparently they're perverted, because I guess they're watching this couple, like, make out or something. I'm not really sure what's going on. But they're just standing just right outside the tent. You know, just like... And apparently that was really... At the time, they were like, oh my god, we're showing this couple in a tent, and the guy comes out with his shirt off. And that was supposed to be like, ooh, I don't know if we should show this on a kid's show.
The dude is clearly buttoning his pants up, too.
I know! I mean, she's got more clothes on, so who knows. But, yeah, it's kind of implied that they've just had sex. So the augury, I don't know. Maybe they're just into it.
This is also just a weird scene where it's like, they need more blood! Anyway, here are these campers!
And I love that they're just like, where did these come from? Just standing outside the tent.
And then she just, like, touches it, and it, like, eats the flesh off of her hand. And there's just, like, a skeleton hand on the stone.
It scared me, to be perfectly honest. I know it was goofy looking. There's still part of me that's like, oh my god.
And then we fade to red.
I mean, I guess they could have just fallen on them, but I don't know. They wanted to be dramatic.
Why didn't they eat the flesh of DeVries and Martha?
That was just killing them. They weren't feeding.
Maybe they were really hungry. I don't know.
So back on the convict ship, which the doctor has figured out is a convict ship, they open another door and some sparkles fly out. Oh, I love these characters. I actually love the, like...
As an effect,
yeah.
They're great.
Okay, so originally in the script, there were supposed to be these flying balls, like metal balls, like orbs. But they thought that it looked too similar to Star Wars with those. They had, like, the interrogation things that Vader used that had, like a pointed thing that would, like, a needle would come out of it. You don't see them very much, but they said, oh, they're going to think we stole that. So they had to come up with something else. But I love the effect that they came up with.
From what I read, it was, like, black room with, like, the actors wearing black costumes. And they had, like, lights that were, like...
spinning, I think.
Yeah, and, like, also connected to their microphones. Like, whenever they spoke, they would, like...
It looks so illuminate. Good.
And then they just...
Yeah, because sometimes they're just sparkles, that. And then when they get loud, it, like, balloons up.
So it's attached to the actor's microphones as well, so... I love the effect. They're just little flying sparkles. It's great. And they sound like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters. I love it. But they are the Megara, or the Justice Machines. They're judge, jury, and executioner. And they're like, you broke the seal to our door, so you must be judged. Which, oh, by the way, he broke it with his sonic screwdriver. Which he doesn't, like, zap it with a, you know, does what he normally does. He just hits it and knocks it out.
I love that, like, Romana's like, what does it say? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I don't remember what he says, but he's like, it doesn't matter, we're just gonna break in.
He says it probably says something like, do not open for fear of penalty of death.
No, he says $20 fine is what he says.
Oh.
Ends up being a lot harsher than a $20 fine.
She's like, well, what do you want to do? He's like, open it. but they say, you've broken the seal and you must be judged. And they're like, hey, Carl, how about you be his counsel and I'll be the judge. And as they're, like, discussing their plans, just the doctor and Romana just walk away.
Yeah, it's like, come on, let's leave.
And then they're like, all right, cool, we've got this all figured out. Hey, where did they go? But meanwhile, Amelia turns the device back on, but instead of getting the doctor and Romana, she gets Vivian Faye, who destroys the device with her staff and then, like, turns and looks right at the camera.
I always hate that. Every time that happens, I'm sitting there and I'm like, don't look at me.
I hate eye contact. Come on, stop.
And then she starts calling for the Augury, the stones. And the Doctor and Amana run to the spot that's supposed to zap them back. They do not zap back. And instead, Vivian and the rocks appear. And then she's like, you are trapped here forever. Destroyed your device.
And of course, Romana and the Doctor have that really awkward cuddle when they're trying to, like, get ready for the teleportation.
I feel like Tom Baker has started leaning into this idea that the Doctor is asexual. And I gotta say, I'm for it. I like it.
I don't know. It's hard with Mary Tam, though. I mean, Mary Tam is gorgeous.
That's true. But I love that, like, scene in the Pirate Planet when K-9's kind of like, she's prettier than you. And he's like, what? Really? Huh. Like, he doesn't even, like, comprehend that as, like, a thing. But that's the end of episode 3. And we're now into episode 4, which I have two titles for. Number one is The Seal of Diplos. And the other one is A Few Good Sparkles.
A Few Good Sparkles.
Which I have to admit, part of that is just because I watched season 5B of Arrested Development, and they make a lot of A Few Good Men references, so it's been in my head. I was like, oh, that's a courtroom drama. Faye is still evilly laughing, but the Megara show up and say, oh no, the Doctor is ours, not yours, but it's cool, he has been tried and sentenced while he was away. He's like, well, I wasn't there for it. And they're like, yeah, but it's fine. We took care of it. He was your counsel. Anyway, your sentence is that you will be executed. And he's like, what? And Vivian's like, oh, that sounds great. Can I watch? But the Doctor, like, tries to appeal it. And they eventually agree to let him try to appeal it. And they delay the execution. Meanwhile, K-9 and Amelia are going to try to rebuild the device. Because, like, Kanan's like, I know how to build it, and you can help me, and you're smart.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm a archaeologist, not an engineer.
Damn it, Jim. But the Doctor calls Romana as a witness and pulls a ridiculous wig out of his pocket.
He just has on him, I guess?
It's your typical, like, judge, white, curly, white hair in curlers wig.
Yeah, they use in Britain for the... well, that would be a lawyer one, not the judge, but yeah, the solicitor. Sorry. But yeah. Yeah, because I watched Law & Order UK, and they did really wear those. I was like, oh my god, they really wear those.
You gotta look fancy.
Exactly.
And then the Megara put a truth accessor on her brain, and they zap a thing to her to make sure that she is telling the truth. Her testimony is not very important. It mostly just sets up the truth accessor thing. Because the Doctor's like, could you see anyone on here? And she's like, no. And he's like, so you didn't know that there were dead people on here. Maybe you thought they were alive. And she's like, yeah. And then, well, I guess I was trying to save them. But that doesn't really work.
He tried.
But the Doctor's like, I'd like to call Vivian Faye as a witness. And then she's like, what? I didn't witness nothing.
I'm just sitting here being silver.
Well, first off, she's like, and she tries to call a rock in to, like, stop this from happening. But the Megara just straight up blow it up.
Just obliterate the thing.
I do love when she calls him, too, because she's always like, Augury. You know, she can't just be like, hey, yo, guys, come over. Just, like, just be very dramatic about it.
Oh, by the way, her outfit is amazing, too.
Oh, yeah. I love that dress.
Yeah, it's a little revealing, but it's good.
It looks good on her.
Yeah, yeah, she's got the body for it, so.
So, the Doctor and Romana are chatting a bit while this is sort of happening, and they're debating whether or not to let her be a witness, because, like, they don't super care about her being a witness, but the Doctor is being kind of adamant about it. But Romana's like, I'm going to try to get away and get some evidence against Faye. I'm going to try to get out of this ship. And they kind of just let her go, because they're like, she's not the one we're worried about.
Well, and what does the Doctor say?
It's like, also, yeah, there's nowhere for her to go.
No one can escape the
justice machines. Or
so, but they finally agree to let him question Faye. So he's like, all right, cool, put that truth accessor thing on her. And they're like, nah, we don't want to do that. They're very, like, frustrating, but in a hilarious way. Amelia and K-9 have got the device working in. They turn it on, and Romana comes out, but she also has one of the Augury with her, so they run, and they're gonna go to Vivian Faye's house and try to find some stuff about her. Honestly, the stuff they find out about her, I don't think really contributes to anything.
But I mean, she doesn't like avocados. That's just, I don't know. I mean, you know she's a baddie at that point.
She's like, they find out she's allergic to citrus.
Right, yeah, like lemon juice and stuff.
That's how they figure out where she's from.
Does that help at all?
Because she has a different metabolism.
Right.
So it, like, helps narrow down what kind of life form she is.
Yeah, I think it's just the setup why the Augury don't eat her. But it's kind of, it's not super important to the plot, but...
Yeah, I don't think it, like, is useful at all in defeating her.
Well, that's how they figure out where she's from. K-9 figures out...
What does that matter?
That's how they figure out that she's...
Cesar Deplas. But there's also, I guess, there's probably that person in the audience saying, well, why don't the stones eat her? You know, and so maybe the writer was just like, I'm going to put that in there for them.
The Megara don't care about the putting the truth accessor thing on Faye. But Faye's like, I'll do it anyway. And they're questioning her, not the doctor, so they don't ask anything important. And the doctor's like, ask her about her identity. Ask her about her identity. And they won't do it. And they're like, anyway, this is done. We'll give you a quick painless death, doctor. And he's like, but no, I have one more witness. And they're like, well, who? And he's like, you guys. And then this is when he's like asking them why they're here and everything. And he's like, we were coming after a criminal who stole the seal of Diplos. And its properties are very much like a certain piece to the Key of Time. It has shape-shifting properties and stuff. And they have her name, which is the Seasayer of Diplos, but no description of her. They only have her name. And then the doctor's like, well, that's her. That's her. She's the criminal you're looking for. And they're like, nah, probably not.
And even she's like, I'm, you know, Vivian Faye, and ask anybody, I'm Vivian Faye.
And they are like, well, anyway, let's execute you, doctor. And he's like, all right, fine. But then he grabs Faye as they're going to shoot him. And then they both get knocked out, him and Faye. And then they're like, why did you do that? And he's like, hey, you should check her memory cells and stuff, see if she's okay. And then they do. And then they're like, oh, shit, she is the criminal.
That's such a weird part.
Because they could only do it just to see if she's all right, if she's, like, unconscious or something. I don't know. There's, like, some weird...
It's a law.
Bureaucratic bullshit.
Yeah, they said something that, like, if she cannot, like, speak for herself, then they can use that.
Or if she's too dumb. That's the other time they're allowed to use it. If the person's just too stupid to speak.
Right. Like the Augury.
And I believe Amelia and... Romana and all that have zapped back to the ship, and the Augury.
Yeah, the Augury came with them.
And then the Augury is captured by the Megara, and Faye is sentenced and very unhappy about it. She does like a very hammy reaction to it, and I love it.
Well, she's been on the lam for like, what, 4,000 years or something? I mean, she's had a good run of it.
They've been just sitting in their little cabin for 4,000 years, too.
Well, the cops are dead, so they had to be stuck in there. And I guess she locked them in there. So I wonder if they just didn't know.
I think they were just waiting for the doors to open.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah,
the cops open the doors and come get them, and they haven't done it yet. And they're so bureaucratic that they're like, just gotta keep waiting.
I wonder what they did in all that time. Played games, you know.
Fell in love, fell
Aww.
Out of love.
Aww.
Rekindled their love.
That's why they're so sparkly.
Everybody returns to the Nine Travelers circle, and she's like, it's fine, you'll never get the Key to Time piece anyway. And the doctor's like, yoink! Rips her necklace off, and then she's turned into a rock! She's turned into a stone by the Megara.
Perpetual imprisonment.
And then they're like, all right, doctor, it's time for your punishment now, too. And he's like, wait, what? I helped you guys and stuff. And they're like, yeah, but you were sentenced and we have to execute you. And then he does like a, you know, zaps him with something. I don't even know. They disappear. And he's like, we've got like a little bit of time. I've sent him away. So let's go to the TARDIS and get out of here.
Yeah, I think he said he sent them to Diplos or something, but maybe back to the ship. I'm not sure.
I think he said they've got like a few thousand, like they have like a 1,000 years head start. It'd be great if like they show back up. Yeah.
In like the new series. All right, we're ready for you.
Same effect and everything. They don't even update the special effects.
That would be so awesome.
But they return to the TARDIS. Amelia's excited to write a new paper about these weird-ass stones.
The doctor asks if she's going to put everything in it, and she's like, oh, God, no.
And she's like, well, one thing, it's got to be surveyed again. It's a different number of stones. But she's like, I've got my reputation, right? Yeah. A scientific reputation to uphold. So she can't say everything. And then they TARDIS out, and they've got the third piece, and the doctor's
still can't
put them together. And like, it ends on him just like looking over at Romana like, What?
Don't judge me.
And that's the end of the serial. That's the end of The Stones of Blood.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for our final thoughts.
Looking for a different perspective on both new and classic Doctor Who? Come check out the Terminus Doctor Who podcast at terminus.libsyn.com. Or come look for us on iTunes or your other favorite podcatchers as part of the ESO network. The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer, opinionated, Whovian, female.
And we're back. That was a great ad, right?
I enjoyed it.
What a fantastic show.
My show or this show?
Yes.
Yes, both. But, Tony.
Yeah.
Are you aware of what time it now is?
Hey, Joseph.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes. It's time for...
Final Thoughts!
This is definitely one of my favorite serials of the Fourth Doctor, which is why I signed up for it. I just think it's so fun. I mean, it's got these really great characters. I love the switch from gothic horror into... I don't know if you'd say hard sci-fi, but it's definitely a sci-fi kind of switch at the end there. I love Mary Tam as Romana. A lot of people have a preference for Romana 2, but Romana 1 is actually my favorite. She's actually the very first Doctor Who person I ever met at Timegate, my first Timegate in 2009. She's unfortunately passed away now, but she was super awesome. And so I have a lot of feelings about this serial. It's like, all the characters are awesome, as I said, and the story's good, and yeah, I love it.
I feel like we didn't talk about it enough, really, in discussing the episode. This is a really good K-9 serial. K-9 gets to do, like, a heroic sacrifice, and then he comes back, and then, I mean, really a couple of times, like, pushing himself to his limit, and he's like, it's fine, I got it. Like, I'm always like to see... a strong heroic character in like a weakened state. That's always gonna be good to me. And to have it be like a dog is just like an extra bonus. Where you're like, what a good boy.
And even has that really, you know, kind of voice. He's like, I tried really hard, Doctor. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And he also has a lot of really good lines this serial too. He's very quippy. And yeah, it's fun. It's absolutely fun when, you know, you start a serial one way and you end it in a completely different direction. I love, love, love the judges. It's a good effect. They're good characters. They're like really fun just the way that they interact. And it's always fun to see a character like the Doctor get tied up and have to deal with bureaucracy, especially something that's, you know, taken to a part where it's just funny. And the side characters in this were amazing. You have the professor and you have Vivian, and you love Vivian, and then you find out that she's the bad guy and you're like, I'm gonna keep liking her. She's gonna have to just keep being my favorite. That's too bad.
Also, fashion icon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, her like crow outfit is great. I spent like every time it was on screen, I was just talking about how much I wanted to cosplay it. And I talk all the time about wanting to cosplay things, and I never have because it sounds like work, to be honest. But if anything, like, makes me do it, it's going to be this one. This is a really, really fun serial. I enjoyed watching it. I think, you know, the dialogue and the characters and everything were spot on. It's the kind of serial that's just super fun to watch.
I was a little worried at the beginning of the serial because I felt like it was going to be the same old thing we always get. Like, I was like, oh, here's a cult. And, like, the moment the cult, like, got completely killed off in, like, what, episode 2?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what are we doing? I'm down for this. We're going new places. The Augury, by the way, just an amazing Doctor Who monster. I love them. Again, I can't believe that they're so cheesy but terrifying. I love it. And I love this idea of sort of starting as like a sort of typical Doctor Who episode and then getting weird. I love anytime Doctor Who gets weird. And I love just the weird sort of bureaucratic comedy duo of the Justice Machines. Oh, I just love them so much. And I do feel like sometimes you might have like, sometimes doing like a complete 180 like that can sometimes be jarring and you're like, oh, well, we were doing one thing, now we're doing this thing, and I don't like this other thing as much. But I loved it here. It was so good.
I do wonder about, like, people that do tune in every week, like, if they missed, like, the first two, or it went from, like, episode 2 to episode 3 or something, we're like, what? Am I watching the same story?
Yeah, I'm always curious about how this played out week for week, because sometimes I have a hard time following the plot, and I'm watching them all one after the other. But I love this. Like, it reminded me of Image of the Fen Doll, but I kind of like it better because it like starts off like Image of the Fen Doll and then ends like a completely different serial. And that sometimes happens in six-parters, but I've never seen that happen so drastically in a four-parter. I love that. I thought it was really good. So I recommend. This has been a good season so far. I hope it keeps this level of quality.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it.
It's usually considered a favorite amongst fans, season 16.
That was the Stones of Blood. Before we go, anything you would like to plug?
Well, I guess I should plug my podcast. It's called Terminus. It's a Doctor Who podcast, not a Walking Dead podcast. You can find it at terminus.libsyn.com. Or on Twitter at TerminusCast. I'm on a slight hiatus right now, but you can see me, or not see me, that would be weird. You can hear me talking about Doctor Who, classic and new. I'm a big old Doctor Who geek, obviously. So yeah, that's what I would plug.
Tony, you want to plug your show?
I mean, yeah, at this point, just assume that this is the point of the show where I ask you, beg you, please, 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 please watch Unseen World. You can watch it on the Roku, on the Heartland channel. You can watch it, you can stream it when it airs at, I think it's Watch Heartland TV?
WatchHeartlandTV.com.
WatchHeartlandTV.com. You can check and see if you have a Heartland affiliate near you. So those are the ways to go see it. It's The Unseen World, what just aired. Apple Valley, Hillbilly Garden and Toyland, and The Doll's Head Trail. That's not what just aired. It's The Closet of the Spiderweb Lady and
Corpsewood. And it's on, you can check it out on any sort of social media. It says See Unseen World. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, MySpace?
No, we don't have a MySpace.
Friendster? LiveJournal?
You know, we do actually have a live journal. No, we don't.
I have a live journal.
I have one. I haven't updated it in years.
I was
going to
say, I don't know if I could guess my live journal password, but it exists.
I'm not going to say it because there's probably embarrassing stuff on there.
Yeah, luckily my live journal is a different screen name than what my screen name is all other places.
Same.
Mine is not.
All right, I'm going to look that up after we're done here. If you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
The more people comment on our iTunes, the more iTunes decides we can be seen by other people. So please, please, please help us be seen by other people. That way people might be able to find us and decide that they like us. Or hate us. I don't know. Just as long as they see us. It's good.
Maybe we should be on the Unseen World.
We'll talk.
If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourasslawn.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of neat rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. And it's a lot of fun, and we chat and hang out and we laugh and we have fun. Sometimes there are cookies.
There are usually cookies, and I always learn a lot.
We were supposed to have a cake for this episode.
Oh.
For being our 100th episode?
Yeah, we don't have a cake. We have cookies. We do have cookies,
though. I've eaten so many cookies. I baked a whole batch of cookies and then just ate half of them in one day.
Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Bisexual Brigadier for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Bisexual Brigadier.
You can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. Also, again, thanks for buying the whole season for us. That's amazing. Also, special thanks to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our Watchathon of Rassilon theme song.
I love that song.
Me too. It's real good.
I sing along with it.
Tony never gets to hear it.
That's true. I don't listen to our podcast, so I don't remember what our theme song sounds like anymore.
Oh, like the Daleks at the end are my favorite part. Like the bit about like burning down the house or the kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
What's funny is that's a reference to like such an early episode, or really a handful of episodes.
I think it was the Daleks episode.
Yeah.
We almost set our kitchen on fire.
While we were recording a podcast. But now it's like part of the theme song, and I have to imagine people are like, what?
Yeah. You sometimes hear it whenever Vince is on an episode, because Vince performs
Vince does
it live
ones.
Yeah. But tune in next time when we talk about The Androids of Terra with returning guest Mike Gordon.
Oh, nice.
Woohoo.
But thanks so much for being on, Nicole. It was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks, everyone out there, for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you.
Aw.
I still don't understand about hyperspace.
Well, who does?
I do.
Oh, shut up, K-9.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.